expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sovereign Minds! Once again, it is Sunday, November 17th, 2019. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host once again in the great state of Jefferson. I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning!
And Ashley, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great gal.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Red Smith is back from assignment. Who's still in the unfunded circle of out-of-control debt perpetrated by banksters that have spun us into a mountain of interest of fiat paper no longer backed by real money. While the mainstream media meatheads, prostitutes, politicians, pedophiles, liars, leakers, libtards, and lowlives that have painted us into a corner filled with a steaming pile of political correctness, Mark has gone wild fighting the New World Order.
You know, you keep adding to that, and eventually that's just going to be like the first part of the show is just reading that.
Yeah, just be like a commercial. I got to practice my speed reading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kelly falls off of his stool over there from lack of oxygen.
Yeah. 1460 AM, 96.5 FM. Or you can go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. Again, that's 530-605-4567. All of our shows are podcast and archived as well, and you can friend me on Mark Kent, minus the E. Although you can friend me on Mark E. Kent, but that's a different one than Mark Kent, which is more local. Or Twitter. shut up. Or Twitter, you can go to Sovereign Minds at Tea Party Tatanka, and that's the one that has the little Clark Kent symbol there. Looks like Superman in disguise. Just kidding. And or Mark E. Kent at Got T, where we go one, we go all. Yeah, Q's back up and running, interestingly enough.
Interesting things going on.
You might want to check out the Reading Patriots meeting every Monday night at 2570 South Bonnyview. They stand for limited government fiscal responsibility and adherence to the Constitution. Wow, what a concept, actually following the law.
Yeah.
Does that even happen anymore these days?
And they're going to be showing the second part, power. You know, they were doing the three-part series, fire, power, and money videos. They'll be showing the second one tomorrow night.
It used to be just
power.
It used to be just power and money, and I couldn't remember if it was money and power, but now it's fire, power, and money. Or is it money, fire, and power? Or is it fire, power?
I believe it's fire, power, money.
Oh, thank you, Ashley. Yeah. We also have a special guest in our studio today who has made a recent announcement of candidacy for District
4.
Four.
Come on.
That's actually the district I live in. But
yeah, that one.
There's so many gerrymandered districts anymore. I'm not even sure where they cross over or who's in what district. So it's kind of like you got to, you know, ask the question.
It depends on which side of the street you're on, north or south.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on which side of the aisle you're on as well.
Well, at least they haven't just split people's houses down the middle yet.
Left, right, east, west, north, south. I'm not sure
yeah.
how that's working. Anyway, we have Patrick Jones with us today, who's running for District 4 Board of Supervisors in Shasta County. Wow, where do we start the mudslinging?
Well, thank you guys for having me on, and you know, I just finished up an assembly run for Assembly District 1. And, you know, and I had a great time on that. Me and my wife, we put on 7,000 miles going around to all the different counties in District 1. We learned a lot, and we got to talk to just a great bunch of people. And everywhere we went, the same situation is that everyone is feeling for the informed voter. We talked with them over and over, and it's the same situation in that Sacramento is out of control. And so we learned a lot of that. And while I didn't win in Assembly District 1 race, apparently you're supposed to have $1 million or so to take on the Sacramento PACs. But we did raise enough money, and I spent it wisely here in Shasta County, and I did become the top vote getter here in Shasta County. And so that was kind of a moment for me to reflect after that race, and that I should run for supervisor, Shasta County supervisor. And of course, I live on Bear Mountain Road, and so that would be District 4. And so I look forward to that, and that's going to be coming up in a March primary. And if anyone gets 50%, they're the outright winner. If not, then the top two vote getters move on to the general election in November. So we look forward to that.
Very good. Yeah. So what do you see as the big issue is after you get elected?
Well, you know, and here in Shasta County, I would say without question, the quality of life and the crime is the number one issue. People are everywhere you go. They're not happy about their county. They're not happy about their city. It's not – they don't take pride in it like they used to. They don't tell their friends, hey, you should come up to Shasta County and retire and live here.
We used to love Redding.
We used to do that, right?
Yeah, everybody
did. Nasty.
Yeah.
And now people don't do that, and it's sad. So we've seen in the last 10 to 15 years the deterioration of our county. And so we need to reverse that, because once you start getting that reputation, it's very hard to get it back.
What do you think is the primary reason that we have fallen so far?
I think government is out of touch with reality. I think they have a spending problem. They do not have a revenue problem. It's a soft approach towards criminal behavior. And we see it up and down California. And the more liberal ideas that you have, it tends to be worse in those areas. And we have to take a tough approach. And some would say, you know, we should be kind and gentle. Well, that's what you have today. You have a very soft approach. And this has nothing to do with our sheriff deputies or our police officers. It's not the rank and file issue. It's the system that we have today, and the lack of holding people accountable.
You know, I was just—I'm going to bring up a little bit of a headline here that kind of feathers into what we're talking about, and I'm not sure that a lot of people are aware of this, but Chelsea Bodine is the new prosecuting district attorney in San Francisco. Now, what's interesting about that is that. He's related to the infamous Weather Underground organization terrorists who were in prison for murder of two police officers and a Brinks armed holdup of an armed car, and so his parents, David Gilbert and Kathy Bodine, one's still in prison, and Kathy Bodine won early release from prison. But my point being here is that they're talking about implementing all of these, policy changes where they're not going to prosecute anybody. I mean, they're talking about the cornerstone of his campaign is to sabotage immigration enforcement and to prosecute ICE and police officers for doing their job. I mean, that's exactly what our problem is to a degree. Not that we've got a Weather Underground guy running the show here, but they don't want to prosecute anybody. They want to go after the police for prosecuting people for being criminals.
Well, you know, San Francisco County used to be, and San Francisco, the city itself, used to be one of the fine cities in California. It used to be a great city. Today, you can, of course, defecate on the sidewalk, and that's legal. Prostitution is legal. And how do people today look at San Francisco, right? It's not held with pride. Now they have destroyed one of our great cities.
They've completely.
It's a rattle.
There was a video last week of a guy eating a sandwich on the sidewalk, and the police was actually going to prosecute or possibly arrest or ticket or whatever the for eating the sandwich. And if you think about it, so I can do all other things on the sidewalk. I can take a crap on the sidewalk, but I'll get arrested for eating a sandwich.
Well, one of the heights of hypocrisy is you can take a crap on the sidewalk, but if your dog does it, it's a $250 ticket.
You know, and if I go in a restaurant and get a straw, I'll get somebody's going to get a ticket, but I can go outside and get free needles and inject heroin.
Yeah.
Well, and of course, obviously, Shasta County it's not a fair comparison to compare our county against San Francisco County, but we still have issues here.
But there's trends.
There are some.
Patrick,
some,
I can't take my kids to the park.
It's true. No, I mean, there are certain things that are true. I mean, we used to go to South City Park all the time when I was kids. We'd go there and have barbecues. I mean, through the summer, almost like every other, Saturday night.
Even our little neighborhood parks, there's little smaller parks and satellite parks and stuff. You can't take them there.
Well, we used to have family reunions at Caldwell Park back in the day. Right. And, I mean, it's not as bad at Caldwell Park. But you can see this trend that's happening, and it just seems like it's getting worse and worse and worse. And, I'm looking at this thing, this Chelsea Bodine guy is a fully committed communist revolutionary and is following the Soros template for criminal justice reform as he plans to close jails and eliminate cash bail. So, I mean, there's been talk of eliminating
eliminated the bail? Wasn't that part of a thing a couple of years ago?
So we've identified that we have a criminal problem and we have a deterioration of the quality of life in Shasta County. So now the question becomes for an elected official, what are you going to do to fix it? And those are fair questions, and I think in this race, I think those are the types of questions that will come up over and over, and then I think we can separate the candidates from their answers. Now, most people in this race, I think, are going to say that the answer is we're going to tax the public more, and we're going to create this sales tax. We're going to tax you more, and then we're going to dedicate that money and put it over here, and then we're going to fix this problem. And I think most of them are going to say that, and we all can agree that we're already overtaxed now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
However, when you talk to a person that is supporting this current sales tax proposal, there's always the word but. You are overtaxed now, but we need this. Well, no, it doesn't work that way. You are overtaxed today, and the fact of the matter is if we continue to overtax people, it will push them out of our county and out of our state, which is what we're seeing.
Why can't we cut the budget instead?
So the county has roughly a $450 million budget. So as Ronald Reagan used to say, we don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem. Now, we know, compared to the city of Reading, where I served for 8 years, compared to the county, that the city has more expendable cash compared to the county. However, even if the county has, say, a percent of 80% that is dedicated funds, still you have 20% at least that are available to be spent in a variety of different ways. And we can't handle, apparently, the incarceration problem that we currently have. What I'm proposing is before I would support any kind of sales tax, and I have defeated and helped to defeat several in the city of Reading over my time, there is no trust in government today. There is no trust. There's no trust at the city, and there isn't that much trust in the county as well. To do the right thing, people would support sales tax increases if they did the right thing, but time after time, they don't. They misuse the funds. And so before I would support any sales tax, I have to scrutinize everything that the county does to make sure that we are spending your hard-earned public funds correctly. And I'm not so sure at this point that we need a larger jail. I'm not certain of that. And I would need to do more research. I have already done some research and found that while many states in the United States have an overcrowding in their jails, not all of them do. Several of them have open beds, and several of them have open beds at a considerably less cost than what it costs for us to house a prisoner in the Reading or in Reading in the Shasta County Jail. And my goal is that for every person that needs to be arrested, that they are arrested, booked, put in that jail, awaiting trial. Once convicted, then you serve your time. And that doesn't necessarily mean they have to do it here in Shasta County.
Well, and there could be alternatives like work camps or other things that could be besides jail. I mean, didn't we used to have like, I mean, everybody does it. We don't chain gang like in Louisiana or someplace, but you know something? They hard labor might be a pretty good deterrent as well.
I think there's a lot of different options.
The fire camps have been a very successful option, and from the look of things, I could say we could use some more fire camps.
Yeah, you think we could have some more trained people out there in the forest maybe in the fall when it
doing
gets...
preventative fuel reductions and things like that at a cost-saving benefit?
That seems like a total win-win to me.
Well, I know New Mexico has open seats. I know Kentucky does, and I know Kentucky has open seats that cost less money. And, you know, some of the advantages of shipping once a person is tried and convicted, when you ship them out of town, a couple of things happen. Their immediate family tends to go with them, which is not always a bad thing. They tend, once they've done their time, they tend not to come back. And that also can be a good thing. And in many states, you can save money. And I would really like to explore that before we start contemplating spending $10 or $20 million on a new facility.
Right. Well, and I mean, the argument is that, you know, we need more jail space is the argument. And I haven't been in favor of this tax to begin with. I mean, because I don't trust the supervisor or the, I don't trust any of the officials in the city or county, period, at this point. Do you?
Well, let me tell you a little story.
Pensions.
Let me tell you, right. And we'll get to the pensions because you got a big elephant in the room that no one seems to want to talk about ever. But I'll tell you a story that happened at the city of Reading. So during the global recession, the city is hemorrhaging. We ultimately lose $20 million out of the general fund, and we have to cut back on labor extensively. And we asked our city employees to pay, because we had paid 100% retirement for over a 30-year period, or for at least 30 years, we asked them to pay for non-public safety 7% and public safety 9%. They refused to do so. I did ask them to actually to compromise and spend a less, about a 3% and a 4%, and they refused that as well. So we put it on the ballot, and to a 72, 73%, the public supported the employees paying a portion of their retirement. And so that seemed like a good thing. We were heading in the right direction. We were certainly hemorrhaging on general fund income into the city of Reading. It is and was a global recession. So what does city council do right after that? They give certain bargaining units a 12% raise to compensate. And so they defied the public. The public just told them, yes, they need to be paying a little bit towards their retirement. 7% and 9% is not the end of the world. But then they turn right around, right after the smoke clears, and give several groups the 12% raise. And so just going backwards. And that type of – that's the trust issue that we're talking about. And it certainly has happened in our county, in this city. And we've also seen it at the county level with AB 109 funds. Being able to use those the way you're supposed to, but instead taking a little, using it for one thing, and then underneath taking that money and using it for something else. And then we get to the big problem, which is unfunded pensions. And nobody really knows, unfortunately, the percentage, because these actuarials are all over the map, and it depends on who you hire. A good scenario, you're probably 30% unfunded, and a bad one, you're probably 40%. That seems to be close, maybe. They have such a big hole now that any time you talk about a tax increase, you stand the fear of this money being diverted to that big problem. Because your pensions are going to fail. At this point, there is no question they're going to fail.
Well, isn't this how these guys keep getting reelected, though, is basically bribing the public sector unions? What's keeping these people in office in Shasta County, just as a small microcosm example, is that, gee, if they keep getting raises and raises and raises that are negotiated between city and county officials and the union heads, aren't they basically being bribed to keep voting for these people?
Well, I was once upon a time endorsed by public safety. And, I like firemen and I like police officers. I have a degree in administration of justice. I'm a law and order kind of guy. And so I liked these guys and felt that they'd be worth supporting. Who wouldn't want to support your rank and file police and firefighters? I think we all do. And then we started getting into the costs. and where the city was at, and I have a fiduciary responsibility to manage that budget. And then I had to start going to the unions, public safety unions, and saying, hey, I'm going to need a little back. Let's keep everybody working, and nobody has to take huge losses, and let's keep everybody working. And I started seeing a different side of the unions that I had never seen before.
This is where the myth got started, that you were anti-police and fire?
They started calling me names like that, you know, and saying that I was anti. In fact, I had one day, I tell you a story, I had two motor cops come over one day where I was working, and I've been working in the same shop for 40 years here in Reading. And they said, hey, we want you to support this lateral transfer. And it was $500 at the time. And that means when in the police department, if one of our officers finds somebody to come and work at the city of Reading from another city, they get a $500 bonus. And it's called a lateral transfer. That was only $500, but and he said, you're getting to be known as anti-police. And I said, well, why is that? You know, just because I scrutinize, you know, budgetary issues, like I said, I'm going to on this one. I said, you know, my fear is that if we do this, over time, the lateral transfer amount will be higher and higher, and it'll go citywide in all departments, and then there will be a real price to it.
So and the camel putting his nose under the tent.
Yeah, and I said, you know, I have some real concerns with that. I said, we live in a great area. We don't really need this $500 bonus, do we? I mean, and they said, well, I bowed down to that, and I supported that. Well, what do you think that lateral transfer cost is today?
Probably.
No idea.
A couple thousand?
It's over 4,000. And so
I thought one of the reasons that they justify the Reading Police Department having some of the highest salaries in the state was that we have to do that to attract
people,
police officers.
Yeah.
So now
that's
not
the only way we get good
that,
ones.
We have to pay fellow officers $4,000 to find other peace officers.
Right, and then the other big problem, and
do
again,
they not have an HR department.
Well, and you would be shocked at what you would see in some cases. But also by lateral transferring, you get a seasoned officer, no doubt. But if he's in his 40s, guess what he's going to do in about 10 years. He's going to retire, and guess who's going to pick up those retirement costs?
Well, that's our problem. I mean, we're so overly heavily underfunded and overly promised on all of these retirement benefits that we've got more people that we're going to support in their retirements than we are have people that are actually working, or taxpayers that can support that. So
from a guy coming from the private sector, these things are aggravating, and they just drive a guy like me crazy because it's wrong, and you want to leave your city and you want to leave your county in a better place than when you found it, right? That's our job, is to manage the budget, manage personnel. It's a big job, but you want it better than where you found it. And that's not what we're seeing.
Or you can retire and move to Idaho.
Well,
or just leave the state like a lot of them, you know.
Well, for me, I'll be working my whole life. I turned down all the retirement. I'm not a CalPERS member. I didn't want to take that because I felt it was wrong. I know the system's going to collapse, and it's really unfair, particularly for the worker that makes the minimal amount.
The rank and file that's going to be completely blindsided because their union is lying to them.
Well, when we get the state of Jefferson, I'm going to push really super hard to make a law that you can't have public sector unions.
Right.
I think that is part of the start. I mean, we know that defined benefits as opposed to defined contributions is the problem, because you can't define benefits if you don't know what the money is that's coming in. You can't say, oh, we're going to promise 7-8% when, you know, a half a percent comes in.
Well, and we already had one of the other fun things about running for assembly, as I just recently did, is we got to go to the small Sierra town of Loyalton, and Loyalton defaulted on their CalPERS. Now, it's a very small town, mind you. I think there was only around 4 employees, but they were paying $60,000 a month for their retirement costs for these 4, and they couldn't afford it.
Right.
So yes. CalPERS had to come in, and they come in, and they took a look, and they said, okay, what assets do you have? Well, they didn't have any assets. And so they said, you're 60% funded, 40% unfunded. So there were talks going back and forth, and the reality was, really, if you have no assets, you're going to get cut 40%. But CalPERS didn't really want to make that decision right at that time, and it is a small district, so they managed to say, we're going to cut you 17%. And, of course, all 4 of those guys signed on that line about as quick as you could. And then the rest of that $1.6 million debt, we're just going to put it on everybody else, which is what they did.
Spread it out.
Wow.
So all these other cities now are paying for Loyalton's debt.
I think they call that smoothing.
Yeah. Well, wow. but they could get away with it on a small district, mind you.
Not a big district.
But on a big county or a city like San Jose, you're not going to get that far.
Well, here's another thing, too. Okay, so we've been breaking records in the stock market here the last week or two or month or year or whatever. And I encourage
people to buy PG&E stock now.
I'm thinking Generac myself. But the point being is that we have been in the longest growth period in our economy, in the market, stock market growth anyway, which is not necessarily the real economy. You look around and you look at the real economy, and it's a little different story. But that being said, sooner or later, we're going to have a downturn. It's just part of the deal. If you look at historically at the recessions that have occurred, we've gone the longest, I think it's in history at this point, without a downturn in the market. It's inevitable. It's coming. And what is going to happen to these pensions when that inevitable downturn in the market starts to occur?
Well, and that's kind of why I'm talking about it now. Most people just simply, I think political science 101 would say do not tackle big problems like this, right? Avoid them like the plague.
Push them down the road for somebody else.
But
yeah.
And that's why you don't see people talking about them. And the reality is, though, if we do not start talking about these and finding some creative solutions to fix this problem, they are going to fail, and it's going to hurt a large group of people, not only in our own city, but in our county and in the state.
And wherever they're retiring to. I mean, if you retire to Idaho and our pensions here, get cut, do you think that their pensions are not going to be getting cut wherever you're living at?
You know, a guy like Kurt Starman that is now in Idaho, could take a large percentage cut out of a $250,000 retirement. It wouldn't hurt him so bad. But a guy that retired with $40,000 or $45,000 would hurt him significantly. And that's why I'm talking about it, is because we have to do something. If we do nothing, it's just simply going to fail. And this is where the unions are failing their members, is because by not talking about it, they're failing their members.
So being an adult, instead of kicking the can down the road and heading for some other state, it needs to be confronted. It needs to be talked about. It needs to be there are solutions that you can correct this problem with. Now, does that mean there's not going to be any pain? Of course there's going to be pain. There has to be pain, because they've kicked the can so far down the road that there's no choice at this point. If you get a downturn in the market, or just the fact that you're losing your tax base, or just the fact that, they're printing so much money that everything's becoming worth less and less and less, and all you got to do is look around and you can see the inflation that's happening. What's going
to
happen?
I suspect the members, and it's really their decision, right? It's a union decision as to what they want to do. And I think only when this becomes a real imminent issue, when we start seeing the next downturn, and we start seeing a few cities start going into default, then I think you'll get some people to the table and start talking about
that. I've been saying it all along. In this town, in this state, it's not going to change until the pensions fail. Because then all of a sudden, the rank and file are going to wake up. It might not wake up those guys that are in Idaho, like, Starman or Tom.
Well, they don't think they're touchable. They think that they're going to be okay. They don't care because
they don't care. Yeah. They're long gone. And
yep, they don't think
smoke.
It's going to touch them.
They've been blowing smoke up everybody's behind for so long. They're out of here. But those guys that worked over there at the city or the county for the last 20, 30, 40 years, whatever it is, and are retiring on a fixed income from CalPERS of $20,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year are going to see, a 40% cut, a 20% cut. But how many people are going to be ready for that?
Yeah, I know. It'll be a sad day.
That's the thing with Stockton, is really the only example that we have of what could happen. And they ended up with literally like 3 cents on the dollar.
Well, and the thing is, of course, we're going to get the Chicken Little stuff. Until it actually happens, these guys don't believe you. They're not paying attention, or they don't care, or take your pick on what. They're not informed. They're too busy water skiing. I don't know what it is, but until that actually happens, I think we've still got problems.
One of the other big concerns for me, or one of the other big issues that I hope will come up in this campaign, and I certainly will bring it up, is that the culture at the county and how they deal with people, and is it the type of operation really that we want? Meaning, when you go to the county for whatever, let's say you're going to remodel your house, when you get done with that process, how do you feel? How are you? How has the process treated you? And did you feel like this was a county that cared about what you did?
No. I probably feel like it got raped.
Let me tell you, I was over there where I'm at trying to get, I finally got it done, but I went to turn the barn into the house because it was on the property. I didn't have anything else, and so I had to refi out of a loan, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, they wanted me to re-engineer it. They wanted – I mean, it was so cumbersome. Then I finally had to turn to going to a manufactured home because it's just insane what they want you to do. You know, now I'm for regulations and I'm for laws that are put into place to protect the public and the people. You know, you got to have a little bit of structure things. But they've gone so far out into –
Well, their permits cost more than what it – takes to build a house or do anything else. The permits are sky high.
They do have a
They're
caller.
Adversarial. The permit department is adversarial
right.
to the people that
yeah. Absolutely.
Them.
We do yeah. have, we have a caller too.
We so. Do.
Yeah.
I can't see anything.
Well,
so
okay, it's
I don't know. We have but, I think we need to go to a break and then we
come back to the caller.
The caller, and we also have a question in the chat room. So with that,
say that three times.
Yeah. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
You place your hand on his Bible when you swear to tell the truth. His name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under Him. In God we still trust.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Get your car squeaky clean at Quick and Clean Car Wash in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean Car Wash on the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros is open 7 days a week. Fast and convenient, you don't even have to get out of your vehicle. And they even towel dry your vehicle. They accept cash or card with no extra charge. Quick and Clean Car Wash located at 1210 Market Street, downtown Reading. 530-243-4211.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
Absolutely fell in love with everything about the facilities here. The kitchen crew is awesome. The meals are wonderful. I find it interesting as I look around the dining room how every table seems pleasantly happy. I mean, they're not just sitting there eating. There's conversation. I mean, everybody here, everyone that works here has treated me like I am special. I mean, it's just amazing.
Call today for a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents, just like Phyllis, love living here. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell, or check us out on the web, river-commons.com.
We'll be right back.
Sovereign Mind Radio. A little Muse there, Uprising. Yeah. Kind of appropriate.
Didn't sound like Hank to me, but
Well, we'll have to get Country Boy Can Survive on at some point here.
All right, and with that, I guess we need to go to our caller. Good morning, Terry.
Yeah, I can barely hear you guys. I could hear Ashley okay, but I could barely hear you. I just had a question mark on clarification on what you were talking about. I'm sure I understood it wrong, but you were saying something about $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 a year in retirement. They could get hurt on that. Gosh, aren't they retiring these guys on $100,000, $150,000, $180,000 a year?
I was kind of talking about the full spectrum of the guys at the low end as are going to get hurt basically more than the people at the high end. If you're making $60,000 a year on your retirement and you take a 40% cut, that really hurts. If you take a 40% cut on $300,000, it's not going to hurt you quite as bad, even though you're going to feel the pinch.
Okay, that clarifies it, because I didn't quite understand that when you were saying it. Fives it a lot, because most of these folks are getting more than, they're probably with benefits. I can't imagine anybody retiring that's not with benefits getting $80,000 a year. I mean, I can't even fathom that. I mean, the police chiefs we have are getting over $1.5 million a year, the ones we have retired, or maybe $2 million. So anyway, okay, that clears it up for me. Thank you very much. I was trying to figure out where you were going with that, because, the people that are really hurting us are, I mean, the average person in the city of Reading is going to make more than $50,000 a year in retirement.
No, I agree.
So, median income in Shasta County is like $28,000 a year now.
It's a good question, Terry, and I have not done a top-to-bottom review of the county and all the dollars there. And I think where it's probably most startling is when you see base pay, which usually isn't too crazy, but then you start seeing all the add-ons and the additions and then the retirement, and then you get to the final number. Mm-hmm. Now, in the city of Reading, I have done that many times, and the city used to be really good about getting that information out to the public, and then they just stopped. They didn't want the public to see that, right?
Because they figured out it was making the public mad.
It was, and to give you an idea, to take a look, back when I was on council, Kurt Starman, somewhere around $325,000 in pay and benefits. Most people, they first looked at that number and thought that that was quite obscene. What I thought was most obscene was not that number. That was bad. But if you look all the way down at the bottom, 1,200 employees later, all the way down at the bottom to janitor 2, the least paid city employee, they work part-time or close to full-time, as I recall. Pay and benefits was at $51,000.
Actually,
double medium income for a private citizen.
You can pull up and go to transparentcalifornia.com, and it comes right up. I mean, I'm looking at just in Shasta County right now for salaries. The top pay, it looks like, in Shasta County is Shepherd J. Green. Does anybody know who that is?
No.
Chief of Psychiatry. Interestingly enough, he's making with benefits $328,611.
We have a chief of psychiatry?
Yeah. I didn't. Who knew? Do you know who's next, interestingly enough?
Oh, probably our buddy up at the Board of Supervisors?
Nope.
Oh.
Idaho Tom.
Oh.
Interestingly enough, we've got, Thomas M. Basanko, Sheriff Coroner. And his total benefit package with everything is $302,263.
Yeah.
So over $250,000 a year in benefits and salary. Then next we have Andrew Deckert. Does anybody know who Andrew Deckert is? Health officer? Wow, isn't this interesting? I mean,
must be in the same office as the first guy.
No, he's a health officer, and he's got 283. I just pulled this up. I just typed in Shasta County salaries and came up with this, and you'll never guess who's third.
Well, and the sad part about this, is those numbers, while shocking, they're not counting the unfunded liability, the pension liability. So the number really doesn't stop there. And that's the
Oh, no. I mean, the next one is Larry Lee's, by the way, just because I had to get that in there.
Now he is retiring as well, too.
Yeah, so...
Utah, I believe it was.
Oh, yeah.
So this was just a a cursory search, you know, and that I came up with. And it didn't take a whole lot of time to figure out what... So now I just typed in 2018... And the top ones are Shepherd Green, Lee's, Amaro. I'm not sure who that is.
Are you in 18 or 19?
I'm in 18. Because I don't think they do 19 yet. I think 19 is still hasn't been put into the website. Donald Ewart, Minturn. Name sounds familiar.
Public Works, yeah.
Patrick Minturn.
Yeah, Cruz. Anybody know who Cruz Jr. is? Then we got Basanko, Angela Davis. That's not the Angela Davis of the Black Panther fame, I don't think. But then we got Bertain, and then Stephanie Bridget. So you can look at this yourself. I can't really post it. I'll post it on my Facebook because for some reason I'm having a lot of trouble trying to get any links posted into the chat room. But I'll paste this at Mark Kent on Facebook. And it shows the salaries right there for yourselves. And
okay. And then before we go to a break, we do have a question in the chat room. It says, in this new tax pitch, are they planning on reopening the annex for people to work off their court fees? And that question's for you, Patrick.
Yeah, and I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that they're but I don't know 100% on that, so I do not know the question of that. So but again, you have to ask yourself if, you know, what could very well happen when you are at this level of overtaxing the public, because we're already seeing large numbers of people leave our county already. When you start overtaxing them, you might not get more tax money in. You might start getting less because people are leaving.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The type of people that are leaving are the people that were producers and taxpayers. The people that are coming in are a different type, and we see it up and down California all the time. And so this effort may be very counterproductive to what's happening.
Well, you got the makers and you got the takers, and if you keep taxing the makers, pretty soon all you got is takers.
Now, people are meaning well. People expect that if this tax were to, you know, to happen and to be approved, it would fix the problems that we see. And in a perfect world, one might think that that could be possible. The problem is that it isn't what's going to happen. The tax increase is not going to do what it is expected to do. It may not make the level of revenue that they claim it is. And it pushes people further and further away from a county that they once loved. And when you overtax people, they will leave. We're mm-hmm. seeing it now.
Yep. They're doing it now.
And so we're at that point now where you got to start looking at your budget, how to fix your budget. You have $450 million budget. What can you do with that to solve the problems here today? And to the point I made earlier, one of the issues that I have great concern with is the culture at the county. And it's much like the city in that these folks do work for us. They need to make us successful. Help us. We know how to be successful. Help us be successful, because as each person becomes successful, then so does the county. And that's called growth, and that's what we need, and that's what we're lacking today. Our county is shrinking because of poor governance.
Well, that's a lot of people my age that I speak to. The two biggest issues, I would say, for 20 to 50-year-olds that I speak to is crime. Crime by far is number one, mm-hmm. and lack of good jobs.
Yes.
That's the two biggest things that feel like are holding people my age back. We don't need more retail space. We don't need another fast food restaurant. We don't need another restaurant downtown. We need manufacturing. We need legitimate single income jobs that, you know, increase the revenue base.
Well, and my point here is that if you have a government that cares about the people and that really is trying to be helpful, bends over backwards to help you become successful, you're going to create all kinds of growth, and with that, you're going to get some better job opportunities. There's always going to be some lower-level jobs out there, but those are still important. And there's mm-hmm. all types of workers in the private sector. And so without growth, your town is dying, and that's what we're seeing happen here in Shasta County.
Well, and with that, we have to go to a break. If you want to call in and give a question or comment to Patrick, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Country boy can survive. This is Carl Lindabad, owners of KCNR Radio.
We just want to say happy holidays from everyone at the KCNR family. With the giving season upon us, we wanted to thank you for living local. The Reddit community means a lot to us.
So this season, as you're driving through town doing your holiday shopping, support the advertisers that support this station. Local shops are often overlooked, but that's where you'll find the most unique and touching gifts this Christmas.
Live local, listen local, love local. And from everyone here at KCNR,
Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays!
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
The Shasta Regional Medical Center Foundation's 34th annual Turkey Trot is Thanksgiving Day, November 28th. There's a 2-mile fun run and walk for the entire family, the 6-mile timed race for the more serious runner, or the diesel horse dash for the kids. Start your Thanksgiving Day morning with Reading's longest family tradition. Register now at ShastaRegional.com. Packet pickup and late registration will be held November 25th, 26th, and 27th at Shasta Regional Medical Center's main lobby from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Register now at ShastaRegional.com.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Sovereign Mind Radio.
Good song.
Yeah. Man, I think that one's, what is that, Wallflower, I think?
It is.
Yeah, thank you. Wallflower. One Headlight is what the name of that is. So.
We do have a caller on the line. We've got Nick. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning. Patrick, I agree with most of what you said, but not some of it also. But I support you. I just wanted to say that Terry Raposa and I are going to be on Carl's show Tuesday at 8, and I'll give you my views on why I won't vote for this tax the way it's written right now. One thing that you left out about Loyalton is that they just ignored their pension payments for 2 or 3 years before it really came to a head. They didn't have the money, so they just quit paying it instead of reaching a settlement right away that would have been more advantageous to the retirees.
Well, I think that that's what you're talking about, is that these guys are going to wait until it gets so bad that there's no denying it. I mean, that's where we're headed on the big stage with CalPERS.
Well, you know, in the private sector, when I see a problem coming, I pop the pimple before it festers and gets infected, and that's what these people don't want to do. They keep pushing it down the road. Mark, you need to go back to Transparent California and click on Reading. that's a real eye-opener. Shasta County, they're lightweights when it comes to overpaying employees.
Well, let me take a look here. I'm right there.
Okay, and I want to bring to everybody's attention, there's a letter to the editor today from a tourist that came up here fly fishing. And he points out what's wrong with our community, why people aren't going to come up here anymore.
Sure.
So that's about all I've got to say. Are you on Redding yet there, Mark?
No, I'm on Transparent California, and it's...
If you click on cities and then scroll on down to Redding, it'll pop up. The top guy last year made over $400,000.
Okay, I got it.
And I think there's 27 or so that made over $300,000, and that's not counting the hidden costs that Patrick brought up.
I'm there now. Okay,
oh,
so
2018. Right, it's coming right up. Oh, I put this button.
Okay.
Here it is.
We got Lonnie Schreiber. We got Roger Moore. Lonnie Schreiber, with his regular pay isn't very much. It's his overtime pay. So he's got more in overtime pay than he has regular pay. It's about 100 grand regular, a little less.
Well, what's his total compensation?
$414,000.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You know what I was told today?
Fire captain.
This is really interesting. The city of Redding took a couple of grants from the feds for a new fire engine, and the agreement on getting that grant is if when there's an out-of-the-area fire, they have to send it. And I understand two of them went down to the Murrieta fire, and that's with a crew of three, each fire engine. So there's six firefighters gone from the area. And then some of the firefighters, and I don't know if it was two, four, or six, got together and went hunting out of state for deer hunting. That's this time right here, our big fire season, really right now when we need them here. So there were down, you know, 8 or 10 firefighters in the area. But one that really got me, and I asked a fireman about this. I forget his name. He was one of the higher-ups. I said, how do you guys decide how you're going to replace a fire engine? Is it, do they just get old and you replace them? And he said, no, it's based on mileage and hours. And I see these fire trucks running up and down and going to the store and going on medical calls that they aren't necessarily need to be on. And if you're wearing out a truck doing that, it's costing us taxpayers a fortune. Why don't they have a little pickup or a van to run to those calls?
I tried that, Nick, and it didn't go over too well. And realistically, you're absolutely right. We're putting up huge miles on these expensive machines, and we're doing medical where EMTs really in town should be doing that, and we could cut our service calls down drastically, and these machines would last much, much longer. We're running even our ladder truck for the guys to go to lunch with. And that machine costs $750,000, and it's just waste. It's just governmental waste. And their response is, well, if a fire broke out, if we were in an F-250 doing a medical call, you know, in a Ford truck, you know, a fire broke out, we'd have to go back to the station, then get into the engine, and then go and you know, but it really doesn't hold water when you have 8 engine companies, and it doesn't work that way. There's a lot of savings there, but when you show high volume calls, you know, high calls for volume. Then each year you can say, man, we are working hard and we need a raise. And that's what it's about.
I guess we're at the top of the hour.
Thanks. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Nick. Please stay tuned for the second half of Sovereign Mind Radio. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
That you travel on, there's one day here and the next day gone. Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside every darkened door where blues won't haunt you anymore. Where the brave are free and lovers soar, come ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate to break down a garden gate. There's not much time left today.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Close to a record amount of people will be traveling in the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday.
AAA is expecting another very busy time on the roads, planes, and trains.
We are projecting that 55 million Americans will be traveling more than 50 miles away from home. That's nearly a 3% increase from what we saw back in 2018. And it's also the second highest travel volume for the Thanksgiving holiday that AAA has seen since we started tracking these numbers back in 2000.
AAA spokeswoman Tamara Johnson, who adds, it's a good time to check your car if that's how you're planning to travel.
Check your tires, check the tread. Also want to make sure that you're checking your battery as well.
Gas prices are expected to be about a nickel less than last year, so that's about $2.52 a gallon. Shelley Adler, Washington.
The World Bank is going to cut back a $50 million project it was doing in China's restive Xinjiang province.
A statement from the bank said it would close a component of the project to support five public vocational colleges involving partner schools that were the subject of the abuse claims. It said although visits to the partner schools did not substantiate the allegations, they were too widely dispersed to be properly monitored for adherence to bank standards. While the partner schools account for just 1% of the project's financing, the move is politically significant because China has been criticized for confining more than 1 million members of Muslim minority ethnic groups in Xinjiang. China says they're being offered training to reduce poverty and extremism. Jeremy House reporting.
Protesters have set fires today on bridges leading to Hong Kong Polytechnic University as they try to keep police from advancing on their campus stronghold. Orange flames extended the length of a footbridge today over the roadway entrance to the Cross Harbor Tunnel. And Iran's supreme leader says he supports the government's plan to raise gas prices by 50% in the country, though it's touched off riots. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Like the rest of us, you're probably tired of all those annoying sales calls to your home telephone number. Now, there's a solution. OurOldNumber.com will block those pesky robocalls from getting through, and most live sales calls will hang up. So how does it work? Callers to your home telephone number will hear a personalized greeting from you. The caller selects the family member they wish to reach, and the call is immediately forwarded onto the family member's cell phone. There's no equipment to buy, there's nothing to install, no long-term contracts. It's still your phone number and remains in directory assistance. The service is only $9.99 per month, and you can eliminate your landline connection and save money. Now, calls to your home phone number can reach any member of the family wherever they are and get rid of those annoying sales calls. OurOldNumber.com. It's just $9.99 per month. Go to OurOldNumber.com to learn how you can get started blocking sales calls today. That's OurOldNumber.com. OurOldNumber.com. You'll be glad you did.
A large study is calling into question some of the most common cardiac practices.
The study finds that people with severe but stable heart disease from clogged arteries may have less chest pain if they get a procedure to improve blood flow rather than just allowing medicines time to help. But it also finds a stent or heart bypass won't cut their risk of having a heart attack or dying in the following few years. The results suggest that tens of thousands of costly stent procedures and bypass operations each year are unnecessary or premature for people with stable disease. However, it is a different situation with a heart attack, when a procedure is needed right away to restore blood flow. I'm Ben Thomas.
Venice hit again today by a record third exceptional tide in the same week, while other parts of Italy struggle with a series of weather woes, from rain-swollen rivers to high winds to an out-of-season avalanche. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Plunging cranberry prices and ongoing trade wars have America's cranberry industry looking at new ways to weather the economic storm.
Some Massachusetts cranberry farmers wonder whether solar power could help boost the bottom line. They're proposing installing solar panel arrays over the bogs they harvest each fall. The farmers hope to bring in some extra revenue in the form of long-term land leases with solar developers while still producing the same quality berries they have for generations. Massachusetts, the nation's second largest grower of cranberries, right behind Wisconsin. Rich Thomason reporting.
Today is Sunday, November the 17th, and some famous people are celebrating birthdays today, including singer Gordon Lightfoot. He is 81 years old. Movie director Martin Scorsese turns 77. Former House Speaker John Boehner is celebrating his 70th birthday today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Yeah, that's for our impeachment hearing.
I was going to say, I take it you've been watching Kabuki Theater.
That's what a sham. Yeah, let's see. I heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend, and that's our basis for impeachment.
Well, it would be laughable if I wasn't sitting watching the damage that they're doing to our republic.
It's unbelievable. Man, I'll tell you, if there's not a reckoning at some point. I wanted to let everybody know, too, that we want to encourage people to send us stories and things that we can get on the air. Again, can't guarantee everybody's going to make the cut, but I do look at them every weekend and just try to make a decision on current relevant stuff, you know, depending on who our guests are and what that is all about, whether we can get your stuff on the air. So Kent Mark, KentMark at MSN.com is the place to email me. And then hopefully I've been getting some, Jimmy G and Lori and I appreciate you guys. I appreciate your input. And we need a community effort here from as many people as possible to look at the stuff that the mainstream media will not touch. And it's to the point of insanity. With that said, where are we?
Well, I know Patrick's got to go, so I'm sure he wants to get a little bit more information out there or how to contact him or something.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate it. So I am Patrick Jones, and I am running for supervisor, Shasta County Supervisor, District 4. And again, that, as we started off last hour, that is a March primary as opposed to a June primary. And if it's a crowded field, the likelihood is that no one will get 50% outright and win it. But if that's the case, then they will be sworn in late in the year. If the top, if no one gets 50%, then the top two move on to the November election, and that'll be a presidential election this year. And so I look forward to that. And again, I just came off of an Assembly 1 run where I had a great time, and me and my wife, we put on over 7,000 miles on the truck, and we just learned a lot of different things. In all these different counties, met a bunch of wonderful people. And, but Shasta County is still home, and we have tons of issues here that are important to the folks, and we need to start working on them today, and I look forward to that. Mark, I wanted to get back a little bit about, you know, some of the city and the county workers. And, you know, with my 8 years on city council, I met a lot of good city workers. And I also have a lot of friends that are county workers as well. So we have some really good people there. But it's the governing and how we do that that's letting a lot of these folks down. Mm-hmm. And while we have good people there that are good people that are working hard, doing a good job, and putting their hours in, the governing, the board, has to do better. And they have to do their fiduciary responsibility and manage this even when no one is looking. And they have to make tough decisions like a father would with a child. And that, to me, takes a culture change at the county. And that's why I'm running this race, and that's why I'm in this race. And it's not a popularity contest for me. Because some people are going to like what I say and others are not. But I'm here to work on behalf of 180,000 people. That's who I represent. And I'll always remember that every day that I go to work.
Very good. Well, with that said, I guess, get out there and, get it done.
It's time to go to work.
Time to go to work.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah,
all right.
Thanks for coming
Thank
in,
you,
Patrick.
Red. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Thank you,
all right.
Very good. Okay, so I just posted. I figured out Siskiyou actually told me how to post stuff in the chat room. You just got to take the dots out of like .com and put a space there, and then it'll post. So don't ask me why, but thank you, Siskiyou. We appreciate that.
It's just that way.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, we have been having inappropriate things, inappropriate links being posted on the chat room.
Really?
And so we've had to increase our filters. Yeah. And it's actually been rather offensive to other members of the production team.
Oh, wow.
Interestingly
enough. So we've nixed all ability to post links until at least that fades. We thought maybe the changing over the chat room to this new website might help, but we had to put that filter on.
And getting spam bots?
Yep.
Yep.
And inappropriate ones.
Inappropriate? I don't even know what a spam bot is.
I don't either, but thanks for letting us know, Ashley, yep. so we kind of know what's going on.
Okay, very good.
We appreciate that.
Okay, so I'm all hooked up on volume, I'm assuming.
Ready
right?
when you are.
Okay, very good. I got to... so we're going to switch gears here. We have another guest coming on, Lo Ponte, at
11:30.
Yeah. So I want to get as much as we can in between here and there. This comes from Jimmy G, which is very interesting. This is a clip from the Next News Network. And they're talking about Obama and his library and why it should be put in the, it could be put anywhere in the world because he's admired all over the world. He's a world citizen kind of stuff. And so, but here's what came out of Michelle Obama's mouth. And I just want to comment on this a little bit. This is pretty interesting. So here we go.
To think, where do we put this resource? Because it will be a resource. Well, what better place to put it than in our backyard, you know? Jackson Park is like that juxtaposition of everything in our lives. South Shore to the south, High Park to the north. That's where we raised our kids, where our kids went to school, where I worked at the University of Chicago, the hospital where he was born, the University of Chicago.
What? Did was that? I'm the only one.
University of Chicago.
What?
Born in Chicago.
I thought he was born in Hawaii.
Now, okay, I'll play it one more time here, real quick.
Where I worked at the University of Chicago, the hospital where he was born, the University of Chicago.
What? Now is that just a slip of the tongue? Is that a misspoke? Is that what is
I
that?
I really didn't mean it.
Now I find that. Absolutely interesting. How do you misspeak? And she seems pretty clear on what she's doing. And then as you go on with the clip, it sounds like she's kind of papering that over a little bit. Because, I mean, I think it's...
Oops.
Yeah.
A big oops maybe later
Michael
on?
Michael realized he messed up?
I'm just telling you. So then the host of the show doesn't catch it till the end and it talks about maybe they should put it in Kenya. At the library. That's all I'm saying is that.
Wow.
I mean.
But that's what happens when you lie.
Well.
Eventually you slip on something.
Okay, now it's Chicago. So it was Hawaii, now it's Chicago. We think it's Kenya. It's like. All I'm saying is there's some inconsistencies here.
No.
University of Chicago, where he was grown in a test tube by the Weather Underground.
Well, would you be shocked? I mean,
no. Unfortunately, I would not be.
So I'm not saying I know anything here. All I'm saying is that's just an interesting comment to come out of ex-President Obama's wife, who's supposed
and it
to
came
know.
Out pretty
well,
easy,
how many slips have these people had regarding their background and where they come from and who they are.
And why would you hide that fact? If he's born in Chicago, why would you hide that fact? Or he's not born in Chicago, why would you say he's born in Hawaii? Why would you even say that he's born in Chicago in the first place? Why would you even slip on that?
Not that they might have did anything that was shady in the past.
I'll ask you a couple other questions. Why would you seal all your records? College. And everything else?
Because you don't want anybody to see them.
Okay. Why would you not want anybody to see him if you were the most transparent organization in the world? Go ahead, sis.
I was going to say, and we know from fact that he didn't attend a lot of the classes when he was in the university. I'm just saying, you know.
Okay, after all of the blackout lies from the media, for the last 10 years that are provable. We've seen it. Everybody knows that they're fake news. You know, Trump's been calling out fake news since the beginning. Would you be surprised if they lied about the whole birth certificate thing?
No.
They did.
They absolutely. It's been proven through an investigation that the birth certificate that they got out of Hawaii is a fake.
So why is it fake?
Because he's not a naturalized U.S. citizen and was never legal to be president of the United States of America in the first place.
Wow. I mean, could that cause
Then you come to the realization, the amount of people that had to be working illegally to get him presidency of the United States of America, and maybe then you start to figure out those people had an agenda that is anti-American.
No.
Just a guess. I'm taking a shot in the dark.
That would never happen. And they thought Hillary was going to get in there and everything was going to be roses.
My utopian worldview has just been shattered.
Yeah.
I think I need a safe space.
8 years of another Clinton smoothing it all over and burying it.
Yeah.
And again, I say, why? I don't know.
They wouldn't have a hidden agenda. I guess
we need to go on a break.
I told you at the beginning he wanted to fundamentally transform America.
Why?
Because he doesn't like it.
And with that, we will go to a break. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Feeling better now that we're through. Feeling better because I'm over you. I learned my lesson and left the scar. Now I see how you really are. You're no good, you're no good, you're no good. Baby, you're no good. I'm gonna say it again. You're no good, you're no good, you're no good. Baby, you're no good.
I broke a heart.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Shots every night, same stupid look there on their face. Like no one ever told them, son, you can't rob that bank, dumbass. Like no one ever told them, don't sell crack off of Main Street. And I ain't nothing like them, cause daddy's belt loop sure could sing. And I see the world so clearly now that 30 years have passed. I deserve out every single whoopin' on my ass. And my old man never beat me, but that line was clear as day. Now the prison's overflowing with kids that never got fans.
Little Sovereign Mind Radio there. That's pretty cool. Little Sovereign Mind Radio there. I mean, maybe
getting spanked.
Maybe that's a little more thing. Maybe that's a little more thing, or something a little more prevalent, or should be more prevalent out there in the community.
Corrective behavior before you have to use corrective behavior.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, oh, talk to your child and make sure he has a safe place and be kind. Really? You know, I mean, I think kindness has a place. But I know that, you know, my dad being kind to me didn't do me the most good at, you know, as opposed to some discipline. And you know something? I never got it. I think I got one spanking, if you will, that I didn't deserve. And I'll tell you what, it didn't kill me, and I feel a lot better for it. Because you know something? If you don't get spanked by your parents, you're going to get spanked by the world.
Well, yeah. Reality at some point is going to hit you right in the face.
So that's my little contribution in 2 cents to country as far as how to solve some of the problem. Just saying.
Well.
Okay, so with that said, I have another clip. Before our guest gets here, this is from the Candace Owens Show, and this is an interview that she did with Secretary Ben Carson. And I want to play it because I like what he had to say. This is after, you know, a 30-minute interview. They gave him 2 minutes at the end of the show to say what he thinks, how he believes, you know, something inspirational, hopefully, to get out there to the public. And I really am a big admirer of Candace Owens. I think she's really smart, and I think she's really on top of things. And also another, as a sidebar, I guess David Harris Jr. is now on the campaign team for Trump.
Fantastic.
Nice.
So we'll be hearing more about that as well. So I just love that the black community is waking up in big numbers.
They finally want to win.
They finally have figured out how they've been being suppressed and basically chumped by the Democratic Party.
Well, I think they've been there all along, a lot of them. Mm-hmm. But we just didn't know it, or it wasn't publicized, it wasn't getting so out in the public, so to speak.
You've got the leaders
now, yeah.
You've got the leaders that are coming into play that are now telling explaining things and becoming examples and leaders to the other parts of their community. And I just think it's absolutely fantastic. With that said, here is our secretary. What is he? Secretary of Health, I think.
And housing.
Housing
and urban development.
Thank you. This is what he had to say in his last 2 minutes in the interview with Candace Owens.
Yes. On your Mark, Get Set world, I give you the wonderful Dr. Ben Carson.
You know, every day I wake up and I thank God for the fact that I live in this country. You know, I've visited 68 different countries. I've lived overseas. I've been to some very wonderful places, but no place that really compares with the one that we have. And we should be doing everything we possibly can to preserve it for our children, for our grandchildren, and all the people who come after us. Before the United States became a world power, go back and read about what the world was like with the tyrants and the monarchs and the people who tried to absolutely control everyone's life. People have forgotten about that. I guarantee you, if we go off the scene, it will return. We don't want that. And we want to also recognize that we, the American people, are not each other's enemies. It is within our ability, each one of us in our sphere of influence, to decide whether we want to be hateful, spiteful people, or do we want to cultivate real love and acceptance? Not this artificial tolerance where you only tolerate people who believe like you do. But what can you do as an individual in your sphere of influence to create success for other people? Isn't that what it's all about?
I think that was, I really liked that.
Nailed it.
I think he nailed it. And this guy's a smart guy. He's a brain surgeon, you know, a pediatric brain surgeon is a, you know, he's taken, I don't know, they said like five or six times he's taken apart Siamese twins joined at the head, you know, I mean, so this guy's not an idiot. But he's more than that, in my opinion. I think he's a great man in his own right, in the fact that, you know, what he's done with his own life, what he's done in his community, and how he speaks out in favor of freedom, liberty, and so forth. And I think that message is resonating in the black community. And, you know, all I got to say is, you know, here. I mean, this is great news. And I kind of hoped that Obama was going to be that messenger when he first was elected. And man, he just turned to the dark side so quick. It was ridiculous. So I think, what do we got here? A couple minutes to break, but, I don't know. I mean, there's so many things other than that to talk about, but I thought that was a great little interview. And so, good grief, where are we going? I don't even know. you know, there's so many things going on in the news cycle, and what's relevant, what's not. I got, leaked bank records show payments of $3.5 million from Burisma to Hunter Biden's company. Obama appointed judge overturned fraud conviction of Biden's partner. I mean, gee, that's not relevant information.
What about the fact that Joe Biden admittedly, braggartly, braggadociously admitted that he threatened to withhold funds from Ukraine unless they fired the prosecutor that was investigating his son. And that's not a crime, but the president of the United States of America asking a foreign government to investigate that is. How insane is that?
Yeah, I mean, how about the whistleblower, Eric Ciaramella, I guess is how it's pronounced, Ciaramella, that nobody wants to talk about because that's where this whole impeachment thing started. But he was hosting a 2016 White House meeting where Ukrainian officials were told to drop investigations on Hunter Biden. No corruption there.
None.
They can't even find anything on Trump. But, you know, what's going to happen here, and I think this is the big news, and maybe we can talk about it with our next guest, is that Trump was daring these guys to impeach him, and I think they've walked right into a freaking trap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because now if this gets to the Senate, they're going to have full subpoena power at the Senate level. They can subpoena all these witnesses that they won't talk about. They can dive in and subpoena Shifty Schiff. They can subpoena anybody they want, and they can get this all out on the record.
Did you watch the second day of testimony where Schiff actually was refusing to allow members of his own committee to question the witnesses? It was insane.
I think these guys are so desperate. They've totally blown it. I think this is a total trap, and we will find out as time goes by. We've also got tomorrow is supposed to be the FISA warrant report coming out of the IG. Is that going to be a damning thing? Probably not. But then after that, we should see a declassification of pertinent data that goes with that. And also, we're gonna be seeing indictments if things are going the way they're supposed to go. And I mean, everybody's saying it that's in the know.
Well, I think that's part of the problem. And, you know, I think that's what caused the people who have spent the last 2 years proving that there was no collusion between Trump and Russia to jump on this as fast as they did, because if you start digging into the Ukraine going all the way back to the late 90s and the breakdown of the Soviet Union, you will find all of these people and people that they're connected to at the giant feeding trough of Ukraine. How does Yanukovych, who is a 32-year-old tender member of the State Department, have $6 million in investments surrounding energy investments of energy companies flowing through the Ukraine? There's no corruption there, right?
And you've got Pelosi's son involved. You've got Kerry's son involved.
McCain.
Gee, I mean, nothing to see here.
Oh, I guess we have to go to a break. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits, and churches and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
The holiday season is here, so why not give the gift that keeps giving? Perhaps a social membership or golf lessons. Riverview Golf and Country Club has been providing home away from home entertainment. Find out how you can become a member today. Go to RiverviewGolf.net. That's RiverviewGolf.net.
Did like that one, Amy by Pure Prairie League. Do we have a guest yet?
He's on the phone.
So who's going to introduce our guest? Have you got his bio pulled up?
Are we live? We are on the air. So we're scrambling here.
Yeah, we are.
Let's see.
Okay. We've had low on
it's been a while
before.
Yeah.
It's been a while, but
yeah, it's been quite a while since we had him on.
Okay, so we've got Lo Ponte, and he is a radio talk show host, and his background includes being a reporter in D.C., legislative aide in the California Assembly, a successful Hollywood public relations consultant, speaker of various corporations and trade associations, and dean of Distance Learning University. Did I get that all right, Lo? Are you with us?
He also worked for our Reader's Digest for 15 years.
There you go. Well, we sure saved that one, didn't we? Are you there, Lo?
No, and I was, of course, a think tank futurist, as I think you may have mentioned.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's been a while, Lo.
Hey, thanks for having me back, guys.
Hey,
thanks
not
for
a
coming
problem.
On. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
So what will we talk about?
Well, you want to go for the throat on impeachment, or have you got something else in mind?
Or on voting in California, or something along that lines?
Oh, sure. Whatever you'd like.
Well, let's talk about voting then,
yeah.
Because the impeachment is like whipping a dead horse, but... let's talk about that. What do you think is the biggest problem in California as far as the voting rolls?
Well, you mean apart from the fact that Democrats formally reintroduced ballot harvesting, what, 2-3 years ago, something most states have gotten rid of because it's a wide-open invitation to election fraud.
Can you explain?
Ballot harvesting. Ballot harvesting, of course, the dominant party... In this case, the Democratic Party. And by the way, remember what California is. We have 1/3 of all the welfare recipients in the United States. By the way, I'm talking to you from Carlsbad, down in San Diego County. And I am a native as well. So 1/3 of all the welfare recipients, more than 1/4 of all the illegal aliens, more than 1/5 of all the homeless people in the country. And they have been brought here because they make a wonderful voting base for the Democratic Party, a lot of people utterly dependent on government with no reason at all not to vote for the ruling party. So the Democrats 2-3 years ago made legal ballot harvesting. Now, under ballot harvesting, for those who don't know, the ruling party will go down lists of names and have a computer select those who are likely to vote Democrat. For example, if they have Hispanic surname, that kind of thing.
I see.
And it will send each of them up to 5 absentee ballots, whether they've requested them or not.
What?
Yes, they don't have to request them.
So they send out 5 ballots to any name that they've harvested off of their list?
Potentially, yeah.
And that's,
of course,
that's legal?
Household, you understand. But then, shortly before the election day becomes final, a knock comes at the door. Hello, Mr. Gonzalez. I understand that you are an absentee voter. We've come to collect the ballots. Oh, but, senor, I am not even a citizen. I did not think we could vote. We did not fill out the ballot. That's okay, Mr. Gonzalez. You could just give me the blank ballots. You might write an X here where you're supposed to sign. And we'll take care of all of that for you. Don't worry about it. We'll see that the ballots get delivered.
Wow.
That's so, literally how ballot harvesting works.
Wow. So then they just take the ballots and basically this, if they fill them out and turn them in, it's fraud, isn't it?
Well, of course, yes. But who's going to prove it? They have the ballots entirely to themselves. It'll never be checked with Mr. Gonzalez. The only thing worse could be Oregon, where all voting is done by mail. In other words, you literally have, as an intermediary, bringing your ballot to be counted, a member of organized labor, a member of the letter carriers union, which tends to support Democrat candidates.
What kind of numbers are we talking about in California as far as, you know, how many ballots can they harvest roughly? Do you have any numbers on that?
As many as they need. That's the point. I, for example, was in Darrell Issa's district in San Diego. In that district, what happened is, first, you had a money sweep go through the area. For example, Michael Bloomberg, who is now on the verge of entering the race, we're told. New York, multi-billionaire. In fact, he's the 9th wealthiest billionaire in the United States. Michael Bloomberg walked through Southern California before the election and says, well, there is mathematically a chance of Democrats losing in this race, in this race, in this race, in this race. I'll channel $3 to $4 million extra for each of those Democrats, so that they can be sure to crush their Republican opponent.
How did Issa get elected in your district? Is it just overwhelmingly Republican? There's no way to shift the votes, or I mean, he's Republican, obviously.
Oh no! If you can do ballot harvesting, you can tilt the vote.
Oh, so anywhere.
Also, ISA was targeted because he was a major foe of Obama. So he was set up for every imaginable kind of smear and attack possible. And when you say there are a lot of Republicans, that's absolutely true. I mean, in this county, where a third of the people are somehow militarily related, as retirees or otherwise, you would expect them to vote Republican. But you also have a heck of a lot of people who are government employees. Hmm. And they're a pretty faithful vote for the Democratic Party.
Well, we talked about that in the last hour as far as the negotiation for their pensions and so forth through the union reps and the union machine, if you will, how that they basically are being bribed to vote Democrat.
Well, sure. Of course. I mean, this is the way the Democratic Party operates. The shorthand for it that we use in the libertarian movement is first they break your legs, then they give you a crutch. First they tax you and penalize you so heavily that you can't really support yourself or retire by yourself on your own income by the time they're done taxing it and charging you what they do for gasoline here and so on. We have a very high tax load in California. And so they then come along and offer you a crutch. You know, if you're not making this much or that much, you can get all kinds of government benefits and pensions and on and on and on. And so you easily become a government dependent. And, of course, you're exhorted to come here to set up homeless, major homeless cities within San Francisco, within Los Angeles, to a much lesser degree in San Diego. But that's, too, is part of the problem. I mean, this place is just a pure magnet now for those who are dependent on government.
Well, it's becoming the socialized workers' utopia, you know. I mean, I was listening to Candace Owens this morning, and she's basically saying California is a socialist state now.
Yeah, and once a state gets more than half the people taking some kind of government benefit, as the London School of Economics, which itself was socialist, argued, they were, of course, Fabian socialist, they would tell you, once you get past 50%, there's no going back. You're not going to get people to give up their free money. You see, the progressive movement within the Democratic Party began doing away with God 200 years ago, saying, oh, we're going to create our own heaven on earth, our own man-made Eden. We're going to have a rule by an elite of scientists and super smart people, and they will be allowed to control everything. And kumbaya, we'll all work here together happily. The only difficulty is when they gave up their belief in God, they didn't give up their worship for Santa Claus. And as Newt Gingrich says, it's very hard to defeat Santa Claus in an election. But that's what the government sets itself up to be. It's a very good place to live if you're poor.
Right.
It's a very bad place to live if you actually work.
But isn't this thing going to topple at some point? Because, I mean, you got people that are exiting California in big numbers, I mean, and going to other states.
Yeah, now, as to your earlier question that I never did fully answer, how can they get votes in what is supposed to be a major Republican area anyway? Very simple. On Election Day, every Republican incumbent in the San Diego area in southern Orange County won. And then, suddenly, ballots just began coming in by the thousands, by the tens of thousands, and so on. And they were almost all Democrat. And those ballots were all accepted as valid. And so, voila, by these mystery ballots, which came from ballot harvesting, the Republican was ultimately crushed, who had just won re-election. You see, by George Soros, and by the way, George Soros, to give you an example, as I say, I'm in Carlsbad. George Soros, Nancy Pelosi, and a group of ultra-leftists met in Carlsbad in November 2017 for a resistance conference to plan how they would do things. You notice George Soros has been helping Democrats get elected as district attorney, as state attorneys general, and so on, throughout the United States. Places like Philadelphia, Dallas.
Well, San Francisco, he just got the heir of one of the weather men, or the underground weathermen guys, is now DA in San Francisco, I guess.
Yeah, and his first pledge to the people is, I am now not going to prosecute any crime whatever that involves defecating in the streets.
Yeah, that's Chelsea Bodine.
And this is the theme of my column this last week at WorldNet Daily, where I do a Friday column, the theme of which is we have entered an age of decriminalized crime and devoted democracy. And that's one of the ways they decriminalize crime. You know, they may not have enough votes to just outright repeal a law they don't like, but if they have elected the district attorney or the attorney general, then they just announce, well, we're not going to enforce that law. There was some major controversy in New York, in Brooklyn, where they no longer enforce the law that you have to pay to ride on the subway. All those thousands of people who just jumped over the turnstile are now allowed to do so. The authorities have said, oh, well, we will not prosecute those crimes.
Well, we need
that fun. In California, we have Proposition 47, which you doubtless are familiar with. In Proposition 47, the government has in effect said that if someone comes into your store and you're a retail merchant, they can steal up to $950 worth of merchandise, and they will not be prosecuted. They will not be sought. Nothing will be done to them. This will be treated as the most minor of all imaginable crimes, and there will be no attempt to enforce it. And by the way, that's per visit to your store. They can come in at 9, they can come in again at noon, they can come in at 4 in the afternoon, steal $900 worth of merchandise each time, and they're still golden because each of their crimes is less than $950. They have whole gangs that do this. They have whole operation systems of fences who just stand on the street outside the retail district, and people come up to them with what they've just taken in stores, and they're given some fraction, much less than half of the value of the merchandise.
Lowell?
That merchandise is within 48 hours transported down to Latin America, to
Lowell.
Central America, or to Mexico.
We got to go to a break, Lowell. Can you hang with us?
It's a business.
We have to go to a break, Lowell. Can you hang with us? We'll be just a couple minutes.
All right. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Lines on the interstate at the edge of 17. Under a winter sky, the shade of grenade. Well, I never would have made it to the California line. Without an old Freightliner driver and a cigarette that day. Maybe you're never too old to get undone. Sure shine on the dusty road in the state of Jefferson.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media Community Radio for the North State. Yeah, if you listeners out there aren't sure about the state of Jefferson yet, can't really help you. We're doing an interview with Lowell Ponte here, and we're talking about the voter fraud in California. I was just thinking about this, and they need a sting operation or something like Project Veritas has done on some of these things, because that's got to be a pretty big operation, this ballot harvesting, I would imagine.
But it's getting a little scary, like you said, if we get to the 50%. I mean, we got to be getting pretty close in California.
I think we're past it.
We might be past it now.
I think we're past it. But what about that, Lowell? And then maybe some solutions. Have you got anything that we can actually do to stop this?
Oh, I suppose you can call a lot of people's attention to it. But, I mean, what they'll do is if you try to take action to deal with it, they'll accuse you of being the one who's disrupting elections. I mean, this is the perennial difficulty. And, of course, they're not doing it as one unified operation commanded from Sacramento. They're doing it as a bunch of district attorneys and so on across the state. And as a general Democratic Party operation. The only thing is what they do is not called corruption, because the district attorneys and so on wind up being people all too often who are Democrats. And George Soros has certainly helped that. By the way, I mentioned George Soros a few minutes ago. You notice how he was involved with that woman ambassador in Ukraine who was making so much news.
She
was not only supporting his organization and fighting against the Ukrainian government to keep them from surveilling it or looking into corruption or ideological interference it had. She was also channeling U.S. taxpayer dollars to Soros, to this Soros-backed organization. And you can guess what its politics were.
Sure.
But now she's just a pure, innocent, sweet, lost her job, which she was going to give up in 3 weeks anyway, kind of innocent diplomat in Ukraine. How terrible it was that she was removed from office.
I think Trump had it right. Trump said she was just an absolute train wreck. If you followed her career back even a little bit, it's pretty obvious.
Well, whether it was or wasn't, the relevant point, and this is why Trump usually focuses as he does, he has the absolute right to remove every ambassador for any reason he wishes. He didn't like the way she combed her hair. You know, that's enough reason to remove an ambassador. He doesn't need to justify his removing her to anybody. That is absolute, unquestionable presidential authority. And so he exercised that authority. By the way, people don't mention Barack Obama issued a directive to all U.S. ambassadors, including Republican-appointed ones, saying, all of you, I want you gone and your resignation on my desk the day I take the oath of office. That's it.
Well,
he got rid of all the ambassadors.
They're trying to completely unwind the Constitution. I mean, it's pretty obvious at this point. You know, I mean, that's what their whole goal is. I think they're going to find out in the Senate that this is going to be a big problem, this impeachment inquiry, if you will, if it ever gets to the Senate. I think they got some real problems because they're going to bring all this stuff out.
Well, I certainly hope so, yes. By the way, I forgot. I meant to bring a greeting gift, or someone who was nicely invited here, and I forgot. But Craig Smith and I have now done 7 books. Craig, you see about once a week with Neil Cavuto on Fox Business. Our latest is Money, Morality, and the Machine. And we would be more than honored to give, absolutely free and postpaid, any member of your audience a copy of this 250-page book that you'd pay $20 for at Amazon. All you have to do is call a toll-free number, 800-630-1492, like the year Columbus sailed the ocean blue. I'm sorry he's politically incorrect, but there we are. 800-630-1492. And we'll pay the postage, we'll pay for the book, it will not cost you a penny. And therefore, of course, there's a money-back guarantee on this offer.
Well, I'm posting that in the chat room right now as we speak, so that's up, and I'll post it on my Facebook page as well. And that's Money, Morality, and the Machine with Chris Smith and Lowell Ponte.
Yeah, and we're in the next few days we're going to be out with a new study that's also absolutely free. You can just ask for it at the same time, called, what is it, the secret war with China that we're now having. Maybe it's top secret, the top secret war with China. I never wind up titling these things. I just help write them.
Well, it sounds like some interesting stuff.
That, too, is interesting. Most people don't realize that while we regard honor and integrity as admirable things, in China it's actually a mark of achievement to be able to wage secret warfare on an opponent or to use misleading, manipulative tactics on them.
Well, that sounds like
that's
Sun Tzu.
They take honor in doing.
That's Sun Tzu. I mean, win the war without ever fighting a battle, and all war is deception.
Right, exactly. And we're now fighting a war with them. And, of course, to them, the battlefield is not one little piece of dirt off on the North 40 where you're going to face off against the enemy. It's everything. If you can undermine the enemy's morale, their morality, their values, the worth of their money, all kinds of things, those are also part of warfare. Warfare is total with them.
Why?
And heaven knows they're using everything they have available.
We got about 3 minutes left, Lo, and then they're going to cut us off at the end of the hour here. But so you got about a minute or a minute and a half here to get whatever you can get out there before we go to our close.
Yeah, sure. Among the things you would like in this book, this free book, Money, Morality, and the Machine, we have a whole chapter called Totally Devoted, which is part of what I address in my column at WorldNet Daily this last week. By the way, the column I will have out tomorrow is on Can Michael Bloomberg Buy the Presidency?
That's on WND. That's WND then, right?
Yeah, at WorldNet Daily, right. WND. Yeah. So we're looking at the ways they have, in addition to ballot harvesting, of stealing your right to vote. You will find even in the December issue of the Atlantic Monthly, which has become more and more a left-wing magazine, a proposal by 2 academics saying, well, we should have a new democracy in which the people still have the right to vote, but the establishment should be able to decide who is allowed to be on the ballot. In a very intense way.
Yeah, that's
and therefore, there will be no more primaries, no more things like that. The establishment, it's like Iran. You know, they find only people who are loyal to the establishment, and they let them run. But if you're anti-establishment, if you want to actually change things, you're not allowed to be on the ballot at all. That's what they want here. They want the smoke-filled room again to be all. The only difference is it'll be a different kind of smoke. And Elizabeth Warren will have her wealth tax. The Wall Street Journal now says will tax some people more than 100% of their income. They tried that in Sweden, and a whole lot of people left the country, and they wound up actually making a lot less tax. But that's what they're likely to get here. And so we have this perverse system. Oh, of course, needless to say, George Soros is a billionaire, too.
I'm sorry, Lowell. They're going to cut us off.
By billionaires as long as they're left-wing billionaires.
We're at the end, Lowell. Sorry.
Yeah, we'd love to have you back sometime, but they're going to cut us off. We're out of time. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for being on the show, and we'll promote your book and so forth next weekend. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master, and we'll see you next week.
All right. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.